Hi, my name is Lisa and I'm 14 years old, and today I will be talking about the murder rate. Would you believe that the murder rate in the United States is now lower than it was 60 years ago? During the mid-1990s, former U.S. Surgeon General Jocelyn Elders named gun violence as the leading public health issue of our time. Her words have been echoed by most daily reports from newspapers and television that feature stories on the escalating rise of murder and other crimes in the United States. Results from various opinion polls seem to show that crime is the most serious problem facing this country. Now, how accurate are these perceptions? Just how rapidly are crime rates rising? With regard to crime rates, popular perception diverges from reality. During the 13-year period from 1980 to 1992, the United States experienced slight increases in robbery, forcible rape, and theft. The largest increase was the forcible rape, with an annual rise of about 2%. And this increase may be due mostly to greater trend in reporting rape rather than to actual increase in the crime during this same period. Robbery increased 2% a year, and the rate of theft rose less than 1% per year. On the other hand, reported burglaries decreased during this time, and homicide rates remained about the same. As for Elders' concerns about gun violence, murder victims were slightly more to have been shot in 1992 than were murder victims in 1980. But the homicide rate was slightly higher in 1980 than in 1992. For groups of people, particularly young African American men, becoming a victim of homicide is rightly considered to be a serious problem. Although only about 1 in 8 people in the United States is African American, slightly more African American than whites are murdered each year before the age of 10. And especially after the age of 40, murder victims are more likely to be white. However, the homicide victims from age 15 to 24, more than 60% are African Americans, even though they make up only about 12% of the population. In spite of this data, many other people live in nearly constant fear of physical assault or murder. Are these fears justified? According to the government statistics, less than one person per 10,000 will become a murder victim in any 1 year. Actually, homicide rates have decreased during the past 65 years. In 1930, the murder rate was 12.4 per 100,000 persons. The number had dropped to 9.3 in 1992. In more recent years, the homicide rate was remained quite steady, especially for whites. In addition, fewer people were touched by crime in 1992 than in 1990. Although crime, like any health problem, is a serious concern for those people directly affected, recent government figures suggest that the United States is not experiencing a rapid rise in murder, rape, robbery, burglary, or theft. Would you believe that the constant clamoring of politicians and media over the escalating trends in crime does not reflect reality? So, I don't read very well, but I will be getting better at it as time comes. But I really like this topic because it really gives the true facts. And it's really sad that color changes whether you get to live or die. So, that's the end. Thank you for listening. Hi guys, it's Lisa, and I'm back with another podcast for you guys. And today, we'll be talking about risk factors for cancer, because a lot of people have cancer, so it's good to talk about the risks. Although genetic and environmental factors account from some cancers, the leading risk factors for cancer are behavioral. Wendland and Dahl and Pito have estimated that about 2/3 of all cancer deaths in the United States are caused by either smoking cigarettes or eating unwisely. Cigarettes and diet are not the only unknown behavioral risk factors. Alcohol, exposure to ultraviolet light, sexual behavior, and stress are also associated with cancer. In addition, certain environmental factors such as meadows and pesticides have been linked to cancer. Of all the factors that have contributed to the rise of cancer deaths in the United States, the primary one has been cigarette smoking. Currently, about 400,000 people a year die permanently of smoking-related causes. More than 1/3 of these deaths are from smoking-related cancers. Although the vast majority of these deaths are due to lung cancer, smoking is also implicated in deaths for several other cancer sites, including the lip, oral, oral. Would you believe that we have more good news than bad news regarding death rates from cancer? Although cancer mortality rates have gradually increased since 1990, many cancer experts are quite optimistic. How is it possible to be optimistic when death trends are moving upward and media reports tell of myriad genetic, environmental, and behavioral factors that cause cancer? Let's look first at some of the media reports. On February 9, 1994, at the Lake Charles in Louisiana, American Express carried a story on cancer rates under the headline "Study Non-Smoking Cancer Rates Increased." The lead paragraph stated, "White men born during the middle of the baby room are 3 times as likely to get cancer unrelated to smoking as their grandfathers were." On the same day, an article appeared in Houston Chronicle under the byline of David Brown of the Washington Post. The Chronicle's headline read, "Baby boomers have greater cancer risk, researchers report." And the lead paragraph stated that a white man of the baby boomer generation has about twice the risk of developing cancer as his grandfather, and a white woman of the same age has about 50% of greater risk than her grandmother. Both newspaper stories were based on the same research and article in the Journal of American Medical Association by Deborah Lee Davis, Greg Dentz, and David Howell, that reported on decreasing deaths from cardiovascular disease and increasing cancer mortality among whites in the United States. The article was subtitled Good News and Bad News. Both the good news and the bad news referred to current cancer rates. So that's the end of the podcast. You know, he's just talking about like all the rates, and it was talking about stuff, cancer rates from the past, even from the 1900s, and why they were caused. You know, they're not, back then they weren't mostly caused from smoking, even though that's surprising to me, because more people smoked back then than I think they do now. So yeah, that smoking is kind of a big cause for cancer, lung cancer. Bye. Hi, it's Lisa, and I'm back with another podcast. This podcast, we're going to be talking about cultural lag and sociology. The WS findings also say something interesting about cultural lag: the tendency of a symbolic culture to change more slowly than material culture. Many sociologists use the group values along a single traditional modern value dimension and argue that values generally become more modern as societies develop economically. If the values of a particular country do not modernize as expected, sociologists often attribute it to cultural lag. However, it may be that cultural lag is just a way of describing something that cannot otherwise be explained. As we have seen, once we allow for the existence of two value dimensions, we can explain that the value position of apparent anomalies, such as the United States, which ranks high on post-structuralism but low on modernism because of its level of economic development and religious history. From this point of view, cultural lag is less an explanation than an invitation to search for additional variables that might account for the lag. So that's the end of the podcast. It was just talking about cultural lag and what it means, and I also talked about religious history and the point of view of it. Thank you for listening.